Happy Thursday. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. You know it is the daily route. I'll define it more, the daily financial route. A lot to talk about today. We'll touch on emergency money again. We're going to talk about income planning. We're going to talk about annuities. You know, kind of like when you don't want to risk even a penny, how should you go about it? What are your options? And we'll take a look at some news articles as well as talk about the numbers of today. Once again, this is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you have a financial situation, you know, this is live financial talk radio, so you can participate in the show. All you got to do is call us up, send an email, or text us. You can text us through the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it. There's a one-time login to create, and you can go to the tab that connects to the show and actually text the show and send your question in that way. You can do the old-fashioned way. No, not snail mail. Email gregory@gregoryricks.com or do it kind of the Alexander Graham Bell-ish way and dial us up 504-260-0995. What a week it has been. Looking at some numbers here, saw Equifax hitting the news feed here. Hackers may have the personal details of 143 million U.S. customers. Equifax said personal details of 143 million U.S. consumers were potentially accessed by hackers between mid-May and July. Their shares fell 6% today. Euro rises as the ECB signals stimulus slowdown, stocks drop. An employee shows 50 euro notes in a bank in Sarajevo, March 19, 2012. The euro surged on the euro Thursday as European Central Bank indicated it was preparing to scale back its stimulus program. I was describing that picture to you of a bunch of euros. Yeah, they're quite different if you've traveled to Europe. It's quite of an experience to do exchange for euros and to spend them as well. So the European Central Bank indicated it was preparing to scale back its stimulus program while gold rose to a one-year high after the U.S. dollar tumbled. The dollar index, which is DXY, which measures the greenback against a basket of six major rivals, fell as much as 1.1% to 91.405, its lowest since January of 2015. Could that be because they think that the stocks drop because the central banks are going to stop buying U.S. securities? Maybe that does get dialed back. It's going to be interesting to see, because that's, if you want my opinion, I think that has to do with the bull market as well, of them printing and pouring money into our markets. The Swiss bank is a huge example of that, where they hold a couple hundred billion dollars worth of U.S. securities. So is that about to change? Will be interesting to see. Let me go over here and grab some numbers. Let's see. Bear with me just a moment. Sorry I wasn't on the air last night. I was under the weather, but all's good today. Let's see. Where am I going? Wall Street Journal. Once again, the phone number is 504-260-0995. So we'll look at the tumbling of the markets today. They opened up this morning, favorable position. So you had the Dow Jones, and you can also go to the numbers page at gregoryricks.com. It does a redirect, so don't be alarmed. And you go to the Winning at Life tab, then click on the numbers. And then, boom, there you are. There's a chat box as well. If you participate in the chat box, yeah, they send me an email also. So when you look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it closed at $21,784.78. And that was down 0.10%. So it started today not up much, but that wasn't much of a sell-off. You can almost call that flat. The S&P 500 closed at 2465.10, off 0.02%. The NASDAQ was up 0.07, closed at 6397.87. The Russell was off 0.25%, closed at 1,398.67. Yeah, I'm covering the numbers kind of early. The other day, I think I missed it. On Tuesday, we had all these callers, which are awesome. That's why we love callers. Great questions. So we've covered the major indexes. Yeah, the Wilshire 5000 was just slightly off as well. So we go over to the U.S. 10-year Treasuries, 3/32 price change. We're at 2.048. You know, just unbelievably low. You know, you have the market kind of being unhappy, yet you have the Treasuries continue to drop. Even today, we had 10-year Treasuries drop in yield. That is something as far as, let's look at what the 3-month run was. So it's really a 2-month downturn we're looking at here on Treasuries. Over a 3-month period, they're not much lower than what they were 3 months ago. Year to date, yeah, it's pretty much all over the place, but a downward trend as well. So we'll jump back over and see what that does to the 30-year mortgages. 30-year mortgage, fixed, of course. Last was 3.75. A week ago, it was at 3.79. So, gosh, pretty good discount on 30-year mortgages. Go lock in that rate. 15-year mortgage, fixed, 3%. Once again, wow, what a nice number. Jumbos are still above 4%, like 4.25%. Going over to crude oil, we're still holding above $49.12 per barrel of crude oil. Natural gas is 2.961. Gold closed up today. We're at $1,354.10. per precious troy ounce. Silver, we've moved above $18 in that almost 0.5% increase today. What, but you know, week or so ago we were at $16, so it moved above $17, now above $18. Silver is becoming really popular at $18.20 per ounce of silver. So that just gives you an idea of what's going on in the markets there. So the jobs numbers were affected by the Hurricane Harvey. You know what? That's putting a bunch of people out of work. The large swath of devastation caused by Hurricane Harvey left many Americans unable to work, boasting new applications for unemployment benefits to the highest level in more than 2 years. It boosted those jobless claims by 62,000 up to 298,000. Initial jobless claims in the period running from August 27th to September 2nd surged by 62,000, reaching the highest level since spring of 2015, the government said earlier today. They had forecasted claims to be at about 242,000, great deal higher. You can see the effect of this. Now we've got this storm going into Florida. And, yeah, it's narrowed down. It's running along Florida somewhere along the coastline. More so looks like it's going to cross the east coastline, the Atlantic side, which has to be better than that side getting the right side of the storm. Just you kind of look at that as going through the Caribbean and just seeing the swath of damage being done. One of my advisors was going on a short vacation to Antigua area. I can't remember the darn island's name. But the eye of the storm went over it today. So it's just like completely devastated. So guess he'll be canceling that trip for this year as well. Puerto Rico is someplace I want to go next year, and it looks like it might have gotten by decently where the eye was above that, larger than some of the other islands as well. But just once again, this is going to be something. Once again, why I talk about having emergency money. So I'm going to touch on that today and give you maybe a discussion I had recently with a family in correlation to emergency funds. And it depends on your perception of emergency funds. But this is one of the core reasons why everybody needs an emergency fund. And you probably tire of me harping on that, but it's when these situations arise. And maybe I correlate it to air conditioning replacement of your house also. If you have a financial situation, wondering what to do, could it be about that pension lump sum? I had a pretty cool discussion on that today as well. Could it be about those A-share mutual funds, that fixed annuity? Or just what to do to start focusing on retirement? This is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're hearing us on iHeartRadio.
Reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email James at GregoryRicks.com.
Let's kick it off!
Your shot at a trip to our iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Woo! Text the keyword FLY to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's FLY to 200-200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
That's where Greg's genius comes in, is just knowing to put professionals all in an environment to give the listeners of this show, and knowing that they have a platform and they can get questions.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I'm a disabled person. When my parents get older, how would that affect like Social Security disability as far as an inheritance?
If that is a concern, what they need to set up is a trust for you, that if there is money that it can go into an irrevocable trust. It doesn't go to you, and one of your siblings can be the trustee and delve it out to you as needed, so you're not showing up with a pile of cash, so to speak. That's kind of the fix right there, if that's a concern that you're going to come into money and it's going to affect you, because it can. If you own up to the government, your part would go into a trust and wouldn't go directly to ownership of you. That's how to do it correctly.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I know you want to ask the question. All questions are good. You know what the bad question is? One you don't ask. Every call goes into the Hall of Fame. They're all great. And if you'd like to participate in live financial talk radio, it's 504-260-0995. One of the brief discussions I had during a meeting today was regarding A-share mutual funds. And let's see, do I still have that up? Yeah, we kind of were talking about positions held in their portfolio. And I pulled up MLAAX, which is Mainstay Large Cap Growth Fund, Class A. When it has Class A, it means it's a loaded mutual fund. The initial sales fee, max sales fee, is 5.5%. So if you put in money, that amount is deducted from what's contributed, so it's going to be that deposit less 5.5%, and then that balance goes to work. Another thing about loaded funds, like that one in particular, has a 12B1 fee. It is 0.25% that comes out each year. So that's added on top of your expense ratio. So this one's got a 0.99% expense ratio. Easy way to go look this up is go to Morningstar.com. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to pay, but you can type it in the fund ticker symbol and it will query it. Then you go switch over to expenses and scroll down, and you're kind of seeing what all the costs are. But it'll give you performance and so many other things in looking at that. You could look at ratings and risk, management, stewardship, portfolio, expense, tax, purchase, filings, performance, fund analysis. Show you a chart as well. So good information there when you're trying to figure out what is this in my portfolio, or it has a Class B or Class C or Class R. Helps you figure out what's going on within your portfolio and see if you're really getting the straight up skinny on what's being done. And this was a rare case, and I'm always straight up with you. I tell it like it is. He was already familiar with it, because it had came over from another firm to where he moved it to at this time. But I, you know, one of the points I made, okay, so you understand that, but you know, they are kind of expensive. But then he had another family of funds that we know historically have very low expense ratio, no commission built in, and no 12B1 fee. I didn't question him about that, but I just kind of commented, and I said, yeah, those are very price efficient to hold in that case. Another couple I kind of spoke with regarding pensions today, and I thought this was a pretty cool conversation, and works for a pretty good size company, has international interests, I think might be a foreign holder of a portion of the company. One of the things he asked is, well, does that mean anything to my pension if they have, a foreign holder that has, say, 52% stake in the company? And I said, no, it doesn't. They still have to follow ERISA guidelines on how they handle pensions, and they have to go by those rules. Then he pulled out a document and showed me how they are funded, how much funded is their pension. And I've got an article here, not handy, but I'll see if I can pull it on the next break. But one of the things we've looked at is, you know, when you kind of look at it, you've got majority of the pensions are properly funded. This one in this case was a little more than 102% funded. So technically you kind of say it's not 100% funded, meaning fully funded. It's 102% funded. He showed me the number for life income only, and I roughly don't quite remember that number, but I think it's around $5,200 a month, $5,300 a month, somewhere neighborhood of about a little more than $60,000 a year. And then I scrolled down and I looked at what it is with 100% spousal continuation. And basically that number came out to be $55,400 a year for 100% spousal continuation. Well, here's the deal. They also offer him a lump sum. That number for the lump sum was ballpark of $700,000. So I think it was like $683,000. But round, let's make the math simple. Let's just say when he does retire next year, they're offering $700,000. 5% of that is $35,000. And once again, I'm not stating that you can get 5%, but let's say you could. I think the better number to use on if you're going to take that lump sum and say, hey, what can I get from it? I think you're better at looking at 3.5% or 4%. And yeah, I can hear somebody say, well, I could average 7% or 8%. No, you can't. Not consistently. Not net of fees. So what we like to use is a reasonable expectation. Not go out there and say, well, I can get 7% or 8%. What if you miss? What's the deal? How much risk are you taking to get there? Because in the end, do you end up with that much return? It's a matter of timing as well. Sequence of returns. Back to the 700,000, 5% to make the math easy is 35,000. And we know he's probably not getting quite that much, because you should take a conservative look at the return, not aggressive, because does a pension have risk? Really, it doesn't. Then you can say, well, what if it's not fully funded? This one's 102.5% funded. So the lump sum is 700,000. So if he put that to work and say he could get 5% on it as an average, an estimated return, a estimation, maybe a little above reasonable expectation, it's 35,000. And how much is the pension going to pay him with a 100% spousal continuation? $55,400 a year. So what I pointed out to him, that if you're wanting to take that lump sum and control it, you're giving up $20,000 a year in income. Then he kind of come, well, I was kind of looking at the overall assets. Well, you're really putting a strain on overall assets because you have this one block. Yeah, oh, you're getting $700,000. But you can't generate that income that they're giving you. And I said, here's the real deal on that. They're trying to buy you at a discount out of your pension. Because you know what a lot of people do? They'll look, oh, $700,000. Wow. I'll take that. Here's something you forgot. Uncle Sam probably owns about a third of that money. The $700,000 is not all yours. That's pre-tax money. It's got to roll over to an IRA. You've got to take distributions that are taxable. just like the pension. You know what? I'd rather be taxed on $55,400 a year than an estimated $35,000. That's probably going to be more like $30,000, $32,000. Which would you rather take as a retirement income for the rest of your life and your wife's, no matter how long one of you live? I'd rather pay taxes, on $55,400. So, and actually, that turned out to be a pretty easy discussion because, it was a no-brainer. Fully funded pension. The company's doing the right thing, everything the correct way. Successful, probably going to be around one heck of a long time in their field of business. And you've got a lifetime income from that. So between his wife continuing to work for a few years and that, that almost doubles what they need to pay their monthly bills. And they have considerable retirement assets. They get an A+ for accumulation. And they're not needing to task on that. But the next thing we talked about is required minimum distributions. If you don't take anything from those assets, when you both the husband and wife same age, what was the RMDs going to be? Something like $85,000 a year the first year. Then it goes up every year thereafter. So we talked about turning on some income before that, but that doesn't make a great dent. All of a sudden, 8 years from now, you've got to turn on this huge amount of distributions, which jumps you into another tax bracket. So there needs to be some planning done along those lines to see if we could minimize that in some way. But this is what discussions about retirement income, taxes, the RMDs, how do you make a decision on the right pension? It is all mathematical, and that's what it comes down to. I love mathematical financial planning. If you'd like to talk about some of these topics, learn some more, call us at 504-260-0995. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. We'll be right back in a few minutes. You're listening to us on iHeartRadio. Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. You can participate. We love taking calls. Can I help you with some suggestions? Maybe what to do about that mortgage. Not getting any yield on your savings. I had a discussion. Somebody had pretty good cash account. They don't like losing money, but they have a lot of money. Okay, several hundred thousand dollars in savings. Not getting any yield. Maybe a little bit in CDs, but a lot just sitting in the savings. Not getting much yield. Looking for options because what they don't want is risk. We have a lot of people that don't want risk. When it comes down to it, there's three worlds of money. The banking world, where you have emergency money and interim money. You know what emergency money is? Kind of that AC goes out and you need $7,000 to get it replaced. You don't want to put it on the credit card, or maybe they don't want you to put it on a credit card, but heck, why not just pay for it now? That's what emergency money's for. Or if you have to evacuate South Florida, go up to Tennessee or something to get away from some ridiculous hurricane that's coming to your community, might not be able to go home for 2 weeks, let's say, or much longer, as we see happening in eastern Texas. So how much emergency money are you going to need for that? $700? $1,500? Maybe $5,000? Maybe $10,000? One of the rules you hear about is, you're supposed to have 6 months of income. You know how many people have that? 50% of the population, U.S. population, does not have 6 months in savings. So if you're making $60,000 a year, they're saying, well, I've got $30,000 in savings. They don't even have 10. But you kind of know, here's where I'm at on savings. Once again, emergency savings, if you're working, kind of a core thing. $10,000. Now, if you can save more, like folks I met with recently, just have hundreds of thousands for emergency money. It's cool. It's what they're comfortable with. But you'd like to have several hundred thousand dollars in emergency money. Well, yeah, I'd like to get some more yield, but I don't want to take risk. Okay, we'll work on that. But isn't that a great position to be in? But if you can't get there, I understand. But an easier goal is, okay, can you get to 5? And then can you get from 5 to 10 while you're working? Now, you know I'm going to take a leap up when you retire that you're needing to get to $50,000. It's a different perspective. When you're retired and you don't have enough emergency savings, where are you going and getting that money from when you need it? Yeah, your income generating assets. So what's that going to affect? Future income. The couple that I talked to about the emergency money has several hundred thousand. They're thinking about getting a little bit more yield on half of it. So they're still keeping a considerable amount of liquidity. Nothing problem with that. Not a problem with that. They're conservative. They don't have a lot of monthly expense. And they're still working. They don't have a retirement timeline. But you know what? If they wanted to retire with where their income's at, their income needs are pretty low compared to assets and what they could generate. Heck, Social Security more than covers that for them as well. So the rest is lanyap. But here's what. Let's throw out a scenario. You're retiring. You've got $3,000 a month Social Security. Let's say you've got $500,000 in retirement savings. And you're cost of living, you know, what it takes you to live, you're debt-free, no bills or anything, and you obviously save a bunch of money. Let's say their monthly bills are $2,000 a month. Okay, Social Security check covers it. Well, we don't need to draw anything off of assets. Here's what you're going to need in the future. Retirement, you have to look at, is about 30 years long, give or take a few years. Could be longer, of course, depending on when you retire. If you retire at 80, yeah, you're probably not looking 30 years out. You're retiring at 60, yeah, it's probably 30 plus for one of you in the couple. Remember, if you both make 60, when you both, not if, when you both make 65, the female's going to live early 90s, the guy late 80s. So yeah, we're talking about over 30 years. In need of income. So tell me, what's that Big Mac going to cost in 20 years? A great deal more than it does today. What about that health care? One heck of a lot more. So if you're taking Social Security, and let's kind of call that the core thing, Social Security, and it's paying the bills because you don't need much to get by on, but at some time, inflation's going to get to you and things are going to cost more. So where are you getting that additional money? That's what that half a million's doing, being it's left alone and growing, except for RMDs that are going to hit part of it, but somewhere down the road. This is what supplements your income. And they ask how they were doing on what they've accomplished and all. And you know what? They've done a great job compared to what their needs are. They've done a really great job. I'd give you an A. I'd give you an A plus if you were getting a little bit more yield on all that cash. But you definitely get an A because you're in a really great position. You have options. You're going to be very comfortable in retirement. Isn't that what we all want? Heck, that's what I want for them. And so really what we've got to work on is how do we go get them 2, 3, 4%, not having to go get a lot of return or expose that money to risk. And this was one of those discussions where what was their tolerance? It was zero. So then we shifted to a discussion of how do we bring fixed annuities into the mix. You know, you always hear me talking about equities, and we work in all the financial worlds, the banking world, which they've got money in. Wall Street is where their 401k is, but he has, when he retires, he's saying, I want to take that money out the 401k and put it to no risk. He's kind of about no risk going forward. I told him, I totally don't have a problem with that. I don't have a bias on that. We work in all three financial worlds, but, you know, your down the street money should be at your favorite bank. Wall Street, you have to account for risk. You don't have to have money there. And if you have plenty, who says you have to expose it to risk to make more money? You could go to the insured world, use fixed interest annuities, fixed indexed annuities, and get a reasonable return that never exposes your money to risk. Annuities and insurance companies are backed up by the reserves there. So that, and we went over some opportunities for that, and they were liking some of that where they could potentially, and here's how I look at fixed index. You're leveraging interest rate. Instead of, say, making 1%, leverage it and maybe get 2, 3, or 4% depending on performance of indexes. So we were having a discussion about that, and I said we probably could get 50% of your assets into that world. Outside of that, we're probably doing annuity CD shopping. We're doing bank CD shopping. So you're kind of using a mix of the insured money world and the banking world. And because I'd drawn this out on a page for them, had Wall Street world in the middle, and I just drew an X through it. That's a world we're not discussing with you because you have no interest in it, and you don't need it either from the standpoint that you're at with your money. You probably have some questions. Well, call me. Send me an email, gregory@gregoryricks.com. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Or just call me, 504-260-0995. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. We'll be right back on iHeartRadio.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We had an individual in the other day, his six-figure income, and, well, should I turn on Social Security? He has a couple of pensions, and income's lining up, and he's planning to work, what, 3 more years, and he'll be 70, and he's, well, do I turn it on now or wait? Dude, you don't need that income. You're going to need it when you retire. And everything's lining up for him to retire at 70, and yeah, turn on Social Security at age 70. And if you turn it on before full retirement age, yeah, there's a clawback because you're still working and you're making more than a limit. It's above $16,000 now you have to earn before they start taking it back. But they don't permanently take it from you. You get it back later.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, you gotta keep your head
your wallet's up, favorite show, Winning at Life down, with Gregory Ricks. On News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down.
Welcome back, Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7 till 8. Just an hour of some fun financial talk. Saturdays, we do it for 3 hours. Yeah, almost 8 years. 10 to 1 on the Saturday show. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. This week, NBA star Kevin Durant, dissed Under Armour athletic shoes in a podcast. The shares of Under Armour, Inc., spiraled more than 3% the next day. Nobody wants to play in Under Armour's. I'm sorry, the top kids don't because they all play Nike, Durant said, who has an endorsement deal with Nike during an interview on The Ringer, a podcast hosted by Bill Simmons. Of course, it's more common for celebs, often with financial incentive to do so, to say kind words about a brand, which helps from the bottom line. But I guess in this case, Kevin didn't have some deal with Under Armour, but typically they don't go dissing a competitive company in that situation. One of the most prominent examples being Oprah Winfrey. Since buying shares in Weight Watchers International in 2015, she stands to make 8 times her original investment of $43 million. The stock has quadrupled this year and shot up 510% since she took a 10% stake in the company and said 3 little words that gave dieters hope. I love bread. Why were those words so powerful? The media may even manage to shed 40 pounds using the program. I tell you what, I love me some bread too, but I surely have dialed it back. One of the restaurants I like to go eat some Italian food, the waiter that usually takes care of us there knows better than to bring the bread. We don't want to be tempted from that, but oh, it is good. But I avoid it. Let's see. We've got callers lined up. 504-260-0995. If you would like to participate in Live Financial Talk Radio, we'll take Sam from Denham Springs. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Rick, how you doing, sir? It's from Independence in Tangible Parish.
Awesome. Welcome.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. We was talking about the financial situation. Look, I'm disabled, and I've got arthritis real bad and everything, and I have to live off of Social Security disability. That's less than $1,000 a month. Now, that when I pay my bills, there's nothing left. I mean, living off of $800-something a month, and that's it. I mean, I can't work. I'm disabled, you know, and I hope y'all maybe we'll have a talk show on the real low income people. What can we do? I know it's not I'm going to answer my own question. I know it's probably not what we can do, but we in one heck of a situation, you know?
Yeah, I'm doing a query right here regarding your situation. Yeah, and this is uncommon. How long have you been on disability? You there, Sam?
Yes, sir. Since 1995. And I've got arthritis real bad. And I suffered a lot of pain and stuff. And I wish I was able to go out and work, but I'm just, you know, caught, I guess, what they call a catch-22, you know. And so that's all I got to live off of. That's, and as far as anybody having any kind of reserves, they're like, by the time you pay all your, you know, your expenses and your house expenses and everything else, utility bills and all that, there's anything, there's hardly anything left. There's really nothing left, really. You know, you got to scrape bottom, you know. And
what type of disability do you have?
I've got SSI.
No, I'm sorry. Your disability, not what you're drawing. Your disability. Well, what affects you physically?
Well, I've got degenerative disc disease.
Okay.
And I've got